Thank you for inviting me, Obey. And I'm Michael Tansborn. I'm born and raised in Tanzania. I've lived in Sweden, worked in sales, moved back to Tanzania 7 years ago.
Hello, and welcome to Obey Podcast. I'm your host, Obey Ewafor. And I strongly believe that everyone has a story to share. Now let's get started with this episode.
And sales is keen about, and to share my experience on that in order for people not to face the same problem that I've had.
What are the bases that people really need to understand about sales, say 2021? Okay, this might be because there are new technologies, there are new ways of doing things compared to maybe like 50 or 40 years ago. Like maybe when you started to understand sales, today there should be a kind of differences. So how would you describe the basis of sales in 2022?
Despite everything that has to do with new technology and new online businesses and so forth, I still think we need to go back to the basics, and still it's a person-to-person communication. And for me, still, you need to have the attitude and you need to have the will. That is, for me, when I look back, the basis of everything in sales. And for me, sales is so important for every company, for every business. Without sales, there is no business. You can have a good operations team, you have a good logistic team, you have a fantastic finance department. But if you don't have sales, there is nothing.
But are there even some reason why some people don't make enough sales and some other do make a lot of sales?
Yeah, I think maybe people or businesses today are focusing so much on production and are focusing so much on other things than sales, and don't realize how important the sales are for the company and for the business. And why they don't succeed in sales is that they don't have the right salespeople. They don't train the salespeople. They focus on other things. And for me, getting the right person, the right sales rep with the right mindset, attitude, and will bring the company forward and the business growing.
All right. Now, are there some principles that people need to abide by in sales?
Oh, there are many principles. You can make it very complicated and you can make it very easy. For me, there are two main principles when it comes to being a sales rep. And that is to learn to be quiet and learn to ask questions. So if you ask questions, then you more or less zip it, and then you listen and you get the information that you need. So the basic simple principles that you should learn is to ask questions and be quiet. Then there are, of course, other principles, but the more you get into sales, the more you learn. The more you learn, you realize you have to learn even more. So having an attitude, having a will, being able to ask questions and being quiet and listening to your customer, have a genuine interest for people and love what you sell. I can keep going more and more, but it is like you have to start somewhere and then that expands into something else. When it comes to principles in sales, you need to show up first. If you don't show up, then you missed it. You keep the time so you don't, you know, come late. You dress well and you smile.
That is very good. You smile. So don't carry a bad luggage from your home to your office. No, smile to the people. But are there training to be able to do that? So that, you know, some people think that when somebody make them feel bad, they feel bad. You know, maybe for example, you are walking on the road, you are going to your office, then you see something that you don't like. The way you get there, you start treating people badly because somebody make you feel bad. So you transfer that aggression to other people. Whereas if you're a professional, and I want to believe what you're saying, is that you need to let it end there. You enter into the office, you are meeting new people who have nothing to do with the bad experience you had before. Don't let them know that you have a bad time. I don't know if that's, if I'm correct about that.
I mean, that is very, very accurate. And for me, looking at the sales rep, for me, a sales rep is actually like a craftsman. It's a craftsman's job. You can compare it to a craftsman, a handy worker, whatever. The thing is that as a sales rep, you have different tools. And when you start your work, you take on that costume. You dress up for the work. So, I mean, whatever you have experienced before that, when you come into work and put on your costume, you enter into your role of being a sales rep. And with that role of being a sales rep, that is the smile where it comes in, then the attitude. After that, then you use the other tools that you have. And many of them is part of your toolbox. So this is actually something that I would like to focus on, that you have a toolbox, but the tools that you are working with are not the same tools like a craftsman. It's not the hammer, it's not the nails, it's not the saw, it's not the screwdriver, or depending on what work you're doing. Here we have your body language, you have your eyes, you have your smile, you have your first of all, you have your questions. Questions is a toolbox. How do you do the questions? You have your argumentation, you have your closing technique and so forth. So in that toolbox, you need to find the right tools for each and every phase of the selling cycle.
Now, somebody that is just starting out in sales, do not yet understand some of the techniques that you are talking about, or do not yet understand how to go about the communication, how to even get started with the communication on, that maybe something that is called small talk, that is a way to listen to the person instead of being the one that is talking in most of the cases. No? As a beginner in sales, what are the things that you need to learn? Where do you start from so that you can sort of climb up a little bit? Because you cannot begin and just become expert in sales. That is what I'm trying to understand from you.
No, you can't. You're not an expert. And people think that I can't get any other job, so let me start with sales. And then they think it's easy peasy. But as I said, it's a hard work, and you need to train, and you need to dig in how to become a good sales rep and to use your tools. So for me, as I said, the thing is what you need to have, first of all, is an attitude. You have to love the product that you sell, and you have been genuine interested in people. That's for sure. And then actually, when you come there and you present yourself, you have to be presentable. You need to dress well. You need to look professional. You have your, what I'm saying is, if you want to keep it very, very simple, there are three questions that you need to ask. You ask about the history, you ask about the present, and then you ask about the future. So how has the business been? And then you shut up, or sorry, my French, you zip it. And then you let them talk about the history. With that one, you nod, then you add up some other questions about the history and how it was. Then you move on to the present, how it is right now. And then you zip it again. So you get all that information. And when you have gotten all the information that you think you need is appropriate, you then ask about the future. And the future is, where do you want to go? How do you want to have it? How do you see it? And when you get those answers, then you ask the last question, how can I be a part of this? So actually, though, that is the most easy thing that I could advise as a start. Show up, be in time, dress well, be presentable and smile, ask three questions. History, present, and future. Then you will come a long way.
Because most people in our demography are small business owners, people who are just starting out in business. And of course, who still need to do sales. Of course, Say maybe, for example, you are a content creator, now you are creating content for another business, or you are selling something online, a service, whatever it might be. You still need to make sales anyway. So how do we translate this one into those kind of businesses where maybe it might be online business, but most things these days are done online. How can we translate those questions that you were talking about in area?
That was a very tricky question, Obi, because online business and online sales is a little bit out of my scope. But I think the same has to apply there. You need to connect to the person. You need to have a good approach of what you're selling, if it's a service or if it's the product. And then transform those three questions into statements. I mean, where have you been before? Where are you now and where do you want to go? I mean, if you take a travel agency, for instance, where have you traveled before? Where are you traveling right now? And where do you want to travel? We have that experience for you. This is just a simple answer on that. But again, I'm more focused on face-to-face, people to people, where I think I don't want to. I mean, online business is a different kind of sales, but it still has to be attractive for the customer. And being attractive for the customer needs also a skill set on how to approach the customer. And with that, you can have those questions in your statement online in order for them to get interested in what you have and then present it, argue for it, and bring in the benefits of it.
All right.
But that was a
Yeah, I
tricky
remember I
question,
was asking
Abhi.
before.
That was a tricky question.
It's okay. We're trying to get it from all angles, so we can understand it perfectly, no? The thing actually I'm trying to understand is that if you have seen any change in since when you started to do sales and 2022, for example, in the way that we approach our client. Especially for the fact that now most people are doing their businesses online. Because you are coming from the background of one-on-one sales. You go to the person, you talk to the person, right? But now most businesses are online.
I would need to work really hard in order to get it interesting. But I think the marketing part and how to approach and find channels on the online would be the first thing. But then again, I'm a person to person kind of sales rep. And I still believe that even though we have online businesses, we need to connect with people in somehow. Maybe having kind of a live chat where you can talk to the if they have more questions, they can just click and book a time and whatever, have a Zoom meeting or a Google Meet or I don't know.
All right, now let's go to this one-on-one sales. What do you like more about this, your engagement with people doing sales one-on-one? Say you have to travel from Tanzania where you are right now to Milan because you want to meet some expert in business. You have to really, I don't know, they book a hotel for you. Then you move from the hotel to the meeting where you are going to sell your company to them, what you offer. Tell me, what do you enjoy more in this whole process?
Actually, I really enjoy the questioning part because in the questioning part, I get to know the person behind the business. I get to know the business. And then, we come to another phase because this meeting with is also part of making a rapport with the client, with the customer, with the person. So following them and talking to them in the same mode. So if they are talking very fast, you have to talk very fast back. But if they are quiet and talk slowly, you have to adjust that and talk slowly and a bit quiet. And if they shake you with your hand firm, you shake it back firm, a firm handshake, yes. But if they don't do this firm handshake, don't do the mistake and do a firm handshake back. You need to follow the customer. And that is, for me, that is the most interesting part to learn how to understand the customer, the person that I'm dealing with. Because even though we are doing business, it's two people talking, finding a way forward to present a solution that will benefit both. So for that reason, a good salesman get the customer to buy. You don't sell, you get them to buy. And to get them to buy, you have to, I mean, now we're getting into to the more deeper things of sales. And that is where you need, this is this small nitty gritty tricks, or not tricks really, it's how you use your tool, how you fine tune your tools, how you use the right tool for the right moment at the right time. And starting with the questions are the bigger tools. And then you go down to the smaller tools where you get, you dig deeper into the questions and learn to know more about the person and the business and the request, the need, the benefit that they want to have out of it. And people say that you need to build up a need from the customer, but I think that the customer always have the need. You just need to let them understand that the need is there for them.
Because we have been here for a long time, and you also see some people come into the sales, and you have seen some people grow in sales so that you have reference for yourself. Where do you think beginner sales or beginner salesman, sales representative go wrong?
They're going wrong many ways. First of all, they are talking a lot, because they think as a sales rep, you need to talk. You need to argue for the product. You need to argue for the service or whatever. So they, and there is a saying, telling is no selling. So when you're starting to tell a lot, when you talk a lot, if you are in the crocodile and talk a lot, you're going to lose the it in the end. So you need to learn to listen and not talk. What I also see that many sales rep, not only sales rep, but if, as we are talking about sales, they don't have a plan. They don't prepare well. And when it comes to preparedness, there are three different kinds of preparation. There is the physical part where you shave. I mean, I shaved for this interview. I always put on a perfume for this interview. So, and then I prepared myself for the questions you gave me. And then I have mentally prepared on how this will go about. Now we have some diversion on that, but I still hope we cannot, you know, find a closure on it. But the preparation is physical, practical and mentally. And the practical part is that you have everything that you need in place. The mental part is to see the outcome, be positive and succeed. And then many of them don't have a structure. They don't know where to put in the questions and to argue. So they don't have a structure. And then they don't have any rules. And then finally, they don't have any report or feedback. So I call it the PPSRR. It's a very simple one. It helped me quite a lot when it comes to succeed in sales. So you need to plan, and plan very well, not only the day, the week, or we sort of, not only the month, the week, the day, and the customer. You need to prepare well. You need to have a structure, where to start, where to continue, and where to finish. You need to have some rules, meaning what can I do and what can't I do? For instance, don't have a lunch dinner with a lot of garlic. And when you come to the customer and talk to them and ask about it, the only thing the customer thinks about is, wow, that was a lot of garlic. And then you're losing in that sense, that because the client is focusing more on your breathing garlic thing than listening to what you actually have to present. And then the report, the feedback, it's about how did it go now? What can I improve? What do I need to train on more? So it's a very kind of boring way of doing it. But if you get it right and you train well and you have these five things in order, you have the goal, then you will reach it. So plan well, prepare good, have a structure, make up your rules, and follow up with reports and feedback on what you have been doing. So going back to your first question, yes, they don't succeed because they don't have this in place. And they think that they can tell, they can talk, and then they are selling instead of getting the customer buying. And if you have a customer buying from you, you will have a loyal customer. who will even call you before you come and buy from you. And I've seen it myself. I've experienced myself, both with me on the market and having sales rep selling or getting the customer to buy.
All right. Now, personally speaking, from your own experience, say in front of the customers, have you encountered a customer who appeared to be difficult for you to crack? You are trying to tell him or have something, it doesn't seem to work. You put out all the tools in your bag, it doesn't seem to work. Have you ever had a kind of frustrating moment like that?
Absolutely. And they become my best customers. I like those who says, no, 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 I'm not interested. I'm not interested. No, no. I love that because that's a challenge. And when I get them, then they are loyal to me. Because if they are hard to me and I win them over, I know for a fact that they will be hard to the other sales rep as well. And as I'm training this, and I learned it the hard way, actually, I've learned it very, very hard how to deal with that. And the worst customer is the one who says, yes, I'm interested. You know, tell me more about it. And then you start talking and they are actually in the end not really interested, you know, because they just want to be nice to you and let you talk. So for me, the one who is hard to crack, I love them.
Okay. But how do you finally crack there? I mean, when you get to this might not be only one time or just one person or just one personality or one profile. So, but typically, when you are in a situation like that you are trying to sell something to a person and it seems to be more difficult, which of course, according to you now, they usually become your best at the end of the day because you manage to convince them, you manage to tell them, pass them the information that they really need the service that you are offering them. But my curiosity now is, how do you crack them so that they can eventually understand what you are telling them and they take action on that?
Again, you know, it's about why do they say no? Why are they not interested? Please tell me, I'm curious to know about why you're not interested. Work with our product that we have today. And I'm like, perfect. I'm glad that you are happy with your product. So do you know anything about my product? And they say, no, I don't know anything about your product. And then my question would be, so how can you say no to something that you don't know anything about? At least let me show you my product and then we go from there. And if you still are not interested in what I have to provide, then I take that no every day of the week. So I'm actually giving them a chance to say no on valid grounds, knowing what I'm offering.
At least the benefit of the doubt, no? It's clear.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I came in, when I had my company, I started out in a city. I had zero customers. And I did it the old-fashioned way where I were working for a big company. And that was not selling, it was order taking. So if I used the same tools that I had from the big global company, transferring that to my small own company, and I failed badly. So I had to sit down in my car and say, Michael, you know, if you're going to continue like this and you get more and more no's, you are going to get broke. You're going to have to sell your house. You're going to, you know, so what do you need to do? So I sat down for 1 hour, 2 hours in the car, and then I came up with this, I need to know why they say no. So I went back to the first customer who said no. And they said, oh, are you here again? Yes, I'm here again. Yeah, but I'm not interested. Yeah, I know that you said that you are not interested, but I am interested in knowing why you are not interested. So if we can please book a meeting now or later, and then give me the reasons why you're not interested, and then I will gladly leave you at peace. And that worked. So after 2 years, I had gone from one up to 300 customers.
That's good. That's from the feed. That is very important. In all this, I'm trying to understand either that some process one need to follow or one need to have in mind to succeed in sales?
For me, there are four steps. That is the actual selling period. Everything starts with an interest. You know, people are interested. And then you come and you create trust. You bring up that as I said, you know, create trust is be in time, dress well, and show respect. The second step is to ask questions and make it very, very simple. It's about history, it's about the present, and it's about the future. So when you have gotten those two pieces in place, you have created trust, you've been in time, you've dressed well, and you have been respectful. You have gotten all the information from the questions. You now move on to the next. Then you present your solution. If it's a product, or you talk about the features and the benefits. And don't talk about the features, talk about the benefits most, because the benefits are the one that is selling. It's not that the car is red. It's not about that the banana is yellow. It's about what is it about that red car and that yellow banana that benefits the customer. And then when you have done that in a proper way, you make the sale. And there are many ways of closing a sale, and we can talk about that maybe on a later podcast. After we have made the sale, you come into the delivery mode. And for me, a very important part is to whatever you do with a under promise and over deliver. It's not about over promise and under deliver. If you're selling a Volkswagen, for instance, and you are promising a Rolls Royce, you can't deliver a Volkswagen because the customer has been promised a Rolls Royce. Just a kind of a comparison mode. So you read this, sell a Volkswagen and you deliver a Rolls Royce, you over deliver. And it can be over delivering in many ways. You can promise delivery in 3 days and you deliver it in 2 days. So there are many, many things that is part of this delivery. And when you have delivered, you're back again in the first place. So have you over delivered? So the customer has their expectations is over what they have. No, how do you say this? You give them more than they have actually asked for. So their expectations was less than they actually got. Then you have created more trust and you've been in time. You go there, you show respect, you dress well, and then you ask the question for the next one. And then you present, and then you sell, and then you deliver again. And actually, it can also be about delivering a pamphlet or some information. It's not need to be specifically what you have sold. You can sell a time, actually. You can deliver a time. So sometimes I go there, I create an interest, I be in time, I dress well, I show respect, I ask questions because I want to book a meeting. So my selling idea is to book a meeting. And then when they say, yes, we're interested in this, good, let's book a meeting. And I book the meeting, I deliver. So when I have the meeting, I see to it that I am in due time. So selling is on product. It's not only, you know, it's more than that. It's even when you go out on your free time, when you go out clubbing, you have to, you know, dress well and show respect and ask questions if you want to. Yeah, you get my point.
Are there types of sales that beginners should know? Because as expert, okay, you might already know all this, but for beginners, they don't know the differences. Either evil types of sales they need to pay attention to. What can you say about that?
Of course, there are different types of sales. You know, you have the either you have this we call it complex selling, and then you have the more. I would not say simple, but it's more straightforward, it's more plain. So the complex selling is over a longer period of time. For instance, if you're buying a house or if you're buying a car, you just don't go in and buy a car. You look for a car, you look for another car, you make a decision, you say, I will come back. And for a sales guy, you need to close that and say, okay, when do you come back? What do you think about? What do you need to get more information about? So that period of buying a car can take over a period of time. Buying a house is a bigger, you know, you don't just go and buy a house, you go and look for a house. You look for different houses, different areas, you look for different options. So that is a complex way of selling. And as a sales rep, everything that makes them come back, that's a sale and that's a success. When it comes to the more simple and straightforward selling, it's where the customer can say yes there and then. For instance, if you are selling milk, you don't need to think much about buying milk. You can decide there and then that, yes, I will buy this milk because the shelves are empty. So I buy the milk, or something that's easy to make a decision on.
Are there some rules that they should know, or if you are just starting out in sales?
Yeah, of course there are rules. I mean, there are many rules. You need, like in every job, there are rules you need to follow. And one of them is that you have to keep, you need to look proper. You need to dress well. You need to brush your shoes. You need to shave. You need to, you know, present yourself very well. You need to be in time. You need to have Tic Tacs in your pocket so you don't have something coming out that is not pleasant for the customers. It's about being professional and take your job serious. And you can set up those rules, what to do and what not to do. And being in time is a rule, you know, being respectful is a rule. Everything that we've talked about that is going to make you successful in sales is about creating the rules that I need to have. And the rules are the tools. So it depends on how you use the tools. I mean, look at as a craftsman, a handyman. If he has a bad hammer or he has a bad saw, or he has bad nails or a bad screwdriver or whatever, he will not make as good work as the one who has good tools. So you need to find those tools and then to refine them, you know, make them, you know, edit them and make them better and better, maybe exchange some in order to get even better results. But the rules, there are many rules in sales. Oh, mamma mia.
Mamma mia. Yeah. That's good. But do you also say mamma mia there? I thought it was only said here in Italy.
I think it's mostly from Italy, but you know, I'm a bit white. I'm still white. So I haven't, you know, I still have some history. I still have some history in mamma mia, you know, that is, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right, fine. Okay, Michael, how can people connect with you? Maybe people have listened to you now. They want to know more how they can tap into your knowledge and maybe offer or whatever you have there. How can they connect with you? Please share with them.
I would be more than happy that the one who is listening you on this podcast connect with me. You can connect with me through my LinkedIn page. But if you want a more in-depth and more kind of hands-on approach, just give me a message on LinkedIn and send me that, and I will connect with you and I will help you become the best salesman that you can ever be.
Thank you so much, Michael Tasbon. It has been a pleasure on my part. I enjoyed the conversation.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate that.
If you enjoy this podcast, make sure you subscribe so you never miss any of our future episodes. Rate and review Obehead Podcast and share with your friends who might need it. I remain Obehe Ewafo. Thank you so much for listening, and talk to you in the next episode.